Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon today? Pardon Me, based on especially this verse from Romans chapter 8. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I invite you today, for a very special reason, to follow your sermon outline. This is a detailed sermon, and following the outline will help you follow this message. The outline is found in the insert you were handed this morning as we consider our theme, Pardon Me. Pardon Me, of course, is a common expression in English-speaking countries that we hear quite often. Pardon me, we say, when we bump into somebody in a crowded place. Pardon me, we say, when we want somebody's attention. Pardon me, a child say, as Melissa says, when a child burps in a busy restaurant. Pardon me. But a pardon is also a legal act of a government which negates deserved punishment. On January 21st, 1977, the newly elected U.S. President Jimmy Carter granted an official pardon to 594 young men who fled the USA, moved to Canada, so they wouldn't have to go to the Vietnam War. They're called draft dodgers. I remember when I was 18 filling out my registration for the military draft, and the man asked me, "What do you plan to do with your life?" And I said, "I want to become a pastor." And he smiled and he said, "It's amazing during the draft of the Vietnam War how many young men either quickly moved to Canada on an extended vacation or thought they should become a pastor." But in 1977, the president granted an official pardon to 594 draft dodgers that they could come home without fear of any legal punishment. But the British monarchy for centuries granted legal pardons across their empire as a way to give mercy to those who could finally come home. A pardon, and here's the definition, is really a gift of undeserved mercy instead of deserved justice. Let me say it again. A pardon is a gift of undeserved mercy instead of deserved justice. Today we're going to talk about a pardon from God. It's a wonderful pardon for us sinners. Romans 8:1 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. People who are in Christ Jesus by a humble faith in Him are not condemned. People who have a humble faith in Christ Jesus, as these newly baptized sisters this morning, will not get what their sins deserved. Undeserved mercy instead of deserved justice. My friends, by your simple faith in Christ, you have been granted a pardon. Undeserved mercy instead of deserved justice. Now, every legal pardon, if you read the fine print in the document, has a whole list of benefits of this pardon. Before we talk about the benefits of our pardon, we have to ask this important question: how do we get this pardon? Romans 5, 6 to 8 says it very clearly. Paul says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might die. But God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There you have it. Our pardon from sin's consequences. Our pardon from Almighty God's wrath. Our pardon from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Our pardon from hell's eternity is only made possible because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And what did He do there? Paul tells us in Romans 5 that Jesus' death on the cross as a payment for our sin is a demonstration of God's mercy for sinners. We ask this question in adult instruction class today, our final class. How do you know God loves you? Do you base it on the way you feel? Oh, no. We know God loves us by looking at that cross. If you ever wonder, does God really love me? Are my sins pardoned? Look at the Savior, nailed on that cross for you. Your pardon was won. Your pardon is written in blood as he won the victory on the cross for you. Now, what are the benefits to your pardon? Listen to this list. Are you following your sermon outline today? Romans 5 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10 says, we are justified by his blood. We are saved by God, from God's wrath. Romans 5:11 says, we have received reconciliation. Did you catch that list? Let me number it off for you, 1 through 4. Number 1, you have peace with God. Number 2, you are justified, that is, you are pronounced not guilty in God's heavenly court. Number 3, you are saved from God's wrath on Judgment Day. Number 4, you are reconciled. Every barrier between you and holy God has been taken down. And this is only a partial list of the benefits of your blood-bought pardon. Pardon me? Pardon you? Yes, God has in Jesus Christ. Can you see how wonderful this pardon is for sinners like you and me? It's wonderful because each of us needs this pardon. Romans 3, verse 10 tells us, there is not one righteous person, no, not one. Romans 3, 23 tells us, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 tells us, the wages of our sin is death. But the sad truth is, some people today think they don't need God's pardon. They don't want to admit the wrong they've done in their lives. They hope Almighty God will just wink at their sin. They hope on Judgment Day, God will just see all the good deeds they have done and said, oh, my goodness, you have done so much. You've earned and deserved this. St. Paul, the greatest apostle of our Lord, one day felt like that. Listen to these lists of reasons he thought he had earned salvation in Philippians 3. Paul writes, I myself thought I had reason for such confidence. That is, I didn't need a pardon from God. Why? If anyone else thinks he has a reason to put confidence in himself, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. For zeal, persecuting the church. For legalistic righteousness, I am faultless. But then, Paul came face to face with his own sin. Paul came face to face with Almighty God. Paul came face to face with his Savior. Paul came face to face and was blinded by Jesus. And now listen to the verses that come right after his bragging list. Paul writes, but now I realize that whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ my Lord. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, who for his sake I have lost everything. I consider everything rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul says that all he had and all that he was as a powerful, successful, wealthy man in Judaism was nothing compared to the riches he had in Jesus Christ. Paul said his bragging list was a pile of garbage, rubbish. What the Greek word really means, Paul says here, all my accomplishments in life were a pile of manure. Paul says everything in my life was a pile of animal poop. Paul says everything in my life was fentu, Chinese for poop. That's what Paul says. Everything he had compared to Christ was a pile of animal manure. The pardon for sins he had in Jesus was his everlasting riches and his everlasting wealth. Pardon me, Paul says, Jesus has done so. Now, let me ask you, what is the most valuable possession you have now in your life? Take a moment to think about that. Your most valuable possession. As nice as it might be, St. Paul tells us today that compared to the pardon that we have in Jesus, it's simply manure. And my friends, there's more to God's pardon than just receiving it. We are then to give pardon and forgiveness to others. In our adult instruction class today, somebody said, what does that mean in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What it means is, since I know I have been forgiven of my sins, now I will be busy about the task of forgiving others. I love because I've been loved first. I forgive because I have first been forgiven. But it's quite sad in our lives, isn't it? Maybe we're like that this morning, or we know somebody who's like this. When a person will not forgive somebody else, when a person will not give a pardon, when they hold on to a grudge and will not forgive something for years and years and years, the sad truth is this: not forgiving, not pardoning, poisons the soul of the person who won't forgive. Let me ask you today, how is your soul doing today in this regard? We are called by God to pardon others. Pardoned by God, we pardon. Forgiven, we forgive. The clearest New Testament passage on this whole matter today is this, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ Jesus in God has forgiven you. And the good news is this: we don't love and forgive others on our own strength. In fact, we cannot. But the resurrected Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit living in us, through the power of God's word, strengthen us to be those people who forgive others. We join with St. Paul and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, there's one book in the Bible that really is the book of the Bible you should read about this whole idea of being pardoned, now we pardon. It's really the shortest book in the New Testament. It's the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon has 25 verses. You can probably read it in 5 minutes. The theme of the book of Philemon is this. Paul writes to a rich believer in a church, and his name is Philemon. Paul asked this rich man named Philemon to please give a pardon to his runaway slave named Onesimus. Roman law was quite clear. Your slave runs away, he is put to death. Paul asked Philemon to grant a legal pardon to this slave. And what is the reason for this unheard action? Just this: the pardon and forgiveness Paul has already been given to Philemon in Jesus Christ his Lord. Paul says, Philemon, you are forgiven. Now please forgive the sins of this brother in Christ, Onesimus, this runaway slave. My friends, the church of today is under attack. The church of today is under attack by a number of people who say it's just filled with hypocrites. They're wasting their time on Sunday morning. What is the whole purpose for a church? Let me tell you. The only reason for the church to continue to exist today is this. Are you listening to me? Are we nodding off during this last part of the sermon? This is the reason for the church's existence today: to be the place of pardon. The church is to be a pardoned place. The place where sinners can come and say, God, how can I stand before you because of my sin? And it's our joy to tell them, for Jesus' sake, your sins are pardoned. I used to tell my students at the seminary, what does it mean to be a pastor? What's your main job? Your job is to be the forgiveness man. Your job is to be the pardoning preacher. To tell people in Christ's name, here, your sins are forgiven. At the cross of Jesus, all our self-righteousness and pride melts away. At the cross of Jesus, we simply bow and say that verse of Rock of Ages, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Today, we've seen that, number one, we have a pardon from God. Number two, that this is a pardon we can give to other people. And finally now, number three, we have a pardon we can give ourselves. There are many of you I need to call by name, but I won't embarrass you. But I want you to listen carefully to the last part of this sermon. We have been pardoned by God. Two, pardoned, we pardon. And third, there are many of us here who need to speak a word of pardon and forgiveness to ourselves. Because of Jesus' blood-bought pardon for you, you are free to forgive yourselves. Only you and your Lord may know what's on your mind and heart today. But today, please receive this gift as a personal gift from God meant just for you. Our sermon text, Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My friends, your Lord Jesus says to you this very day, "I have set you free from your self-made prison of internal warfare. Please accept the pardon I've already given you. Don't waste any more of your life living in a self-made prison." Here's our final story for the sermon today. How many of you recognize the name Hiro Onoda? Everett does, and Mary does. We talked about him a little bit in instruction class today. Hiro Onoda was a man in the army of the Japanese Empire during World War II. He lived in a self-made prison for 30 years in the jungle of the Philippines. The war ended in 1945, but in 1944 he was given a command and the rest of the soldiers were told to keep on fighting even though Japan would eventually surrender. He continued his war on that island in the Philippines for 30 years. He lived in a dank and dirty cave. He only came out at night to steal vegetables from people's gardens. He killed a number of individuals. He was sick, hungry, dirty, and so terribly lonely. Even after thousands of leaflets were dropped from an airplane saying the war is over, he would not surrender. He would not come out of his self-made prison in this terrible, dirty cave in which he lived with rats. It's estimated that in 30 years, 13,000 men and $500,000 were spent to try to get him and find him and help him surrender. But finally, in 1974, 30 years later, he surrendered his sword to the president of the Philippines, President Marcos. And Marcos offered him a full pardon. When asked about his 30 years of self-imprisonment, Hiro Onoda only said these words, and I translate, "Nothing pleasant happened in the 30 years that I was alone in the jungle." My friends, like Hiro Onoda, nothing pleasant happens when the battle of unforgiveness continues to rage in our soul. Nothing pleasant happens when we will not receive and then pass on to others the forgiveness, the pardon we have been given in Christ our Savior. Oh, my friends, in Jesus Christ, forgiveness is yours. Pardon is yours. Lay down your sword so that your hands are free to receive the blood-bought pardon from your Savior. Today, please accept this promise from your Lord found in Psalm 103, verse 12. It's meant just for you. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear Him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Today you can take hold of God's wonderful pardon from you. Today, you can know for sure the absolute truth of Romans 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Lord of your unchangeable past and your unpredictable future. Pardon me? Pardon you? Yes, God has, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.